This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina General Assembly passed a bill yesterday barring municipal governments from restricting discrimination. Governor McCrory signed the bill into law late last night. The legislature has been called into a special session to address an ordinance enacted by the Charlotte City Council that would permit individuals to elect which bathroom to use. The legislation passed yesterday, creating regulations around single-sex restrooms, but also barred cities from certain labor requirements for municipal contracts. Critics say the effects could be far-reaching and eliminate non-discrimination protections for many minority groups and also hurt the chances for local citizens to earn a living wage. WNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi has been following the story and is with me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi, Frank.
What happened last night?
Well, after hours of debate on the House side, after a stance, a protest of sorts by the Democrats in the Senate, this bill moved forward, a bill that was initially, the genesis of it came from the ordinance in Charlotte that was offered up to give a protection to people who are transgender. This was designed as a measure to supersede that, and it did. And then it went a little bit further. And as you've alluded to, it is having an effect on conversations, business conversations, and the national media has picked up on it. And it, you know, what became what was a relatively small ordinance or small in scope in the city of Charlotte has become a much bigger issue here in, oh, by the way, an election year.
Well, tell us about the criticism. It was harsh and it was quick, and much of it came from the business community, not just advocates for the legislation initially. Tell us about the criticism, particularly in the business community.
So the business community is not a new player to these conversations. There have been similar RFRA, Religious Freedoms Restoration Acts, or anti-LGBT measures, at least perceived that way or explicitly that way, that have played out across the country in recent years. There was one in Indiana. The NCAA was quick to criticize that one. There was one in Georgia, one still on the table in Georgia. Disney, a giant conglomeration, giant corporation, Disney, was very quick to criticize that one. Here in North Carolina, in just the day or so since the debate began, the official debate in the General Assembly and the law was passed, we've heard from Red Hat in the Triangle. American Airlines has come out in a stance against this. Wells Fargo has condemned it, saying they don't support the legislation. So some big business players, if you will, have said that this isn't good for business, this isn't good for bringing people to the state, and it's really not what the culture of North Carolina is about. Also worth considering, the NFL, the NBA, the NCAA are all big sports conglomerates, sports entities that could also, speak on this relatively soon.
Not new to this debate, as you say, the business community also weighed in on Amendment 1. Eventually, the North Carolina legislature lost an expensive lawsuit over that, and it was repealed. But the fact is, the business community said it's going to hurt business in North Carolina, and it did. So now here we are again, and there was a special session. Let's listen to why supporters of this bill thought it was so important to do this right now. You talked to Representative Dan Bishop of Mecklenburg.
Let's just go to a city council where you can find a handful of radicals under the influence of an activist group that's got a lot of money from out of state, and get six of those people to enact something that goes to the heart of some of statewide interest, and then impose that not only on your own citizens, but on everyone that might be operating a business across the state. That is the picture of the subversion of the rule of law.
I mean, it has to be said, that's also the picture of democracy. That's how things work. We have representative governments, interest groups like on the right, right-wing groups like ALEC, Chamber of Commerce, or Americans for Prosperity also lobby the legislature. Much of that legislation they have written and is also the law of the land. So I guess it has to be said that it's also textbook democracy. But what are the opponents saying about this?
At the heart of this issue is power, right? I mean, the folks, when you say opponents, it's almost not clear. Are we talking about the opponents to the Charlotte measure? Are we talking about the opponents to the state measure that has now become law? The folks that were opposed to Charlotte say that this is an overreach of local municipal authority. And what they did last night was not only act to undo the ordinance that passed in Charlotte, but also keep local municipalities from passing similar non-ordinances moving forward. They say that this really is about power. On the other side, folks are saying the fact of the matter here is that the electorate is changing and that cities in this state are more diverse and are as left-leaning as they ever have been, and that ultimately what the state legislature is doing is trying to rein them in and trying to exert its power and its control, its authority over those local bodies.
Now, there are a few advocacy groups threatening legal action. Who is that, and what's the basis for any legal action?
Legal action is almost certain in this case. Something could be filed today or tomorrow. Almost certainly something, if not today or tomorrow, will come next week. An interesting argument has come from the ACLU. The ACLU is, it seems, based on a couple of releases that they sent out yesterday, they're setting up a challenge based to some extent around Title IX. There is a similar issue in play that has taken place in Tennessee, and it pertains to a transgender woman using the bathroom at a high school. The short of it is that story, that instance, rose to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the appellate court that oversees North Carolina and Virginia and Tennessee. And in that case, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that you cannot discriminate against people who are transgender as it pertains to the bathroom issue in high schools, and doing so would be a violation of Title IX and could put funding in jeopardy. So we heard from the ACLU about this possible Title IX violation. We heard from a Democratic legislator, Susie Hamilton of New Hanover County, a Democrat who talked about this on the floor yesterday, and they both raised the possibility that North Carolina receives about $4.2 billion a year in Title IX funding. This is education funding, and that could be thrown into jeopardy. Now, that's admittedly a bit of left-leaning rhetoric or looking pretty far down the line, but that is a concern, and that's maybe the basis for a legal challenge.
But, again, the state could be in for another costly lawsuit. Amendment 1 was a costly lawsuit that we lost, the state lost, and then, of course, the racial redistricting lawsuits. Again, and so now we may be in for another expensive lawsuit over this legislation. Well, I guess it's also an election year, as you pointed out, but the governor, who didn't call this session, did sign the legislation and signed it rather quickly. Has he said anything about this?
He, in the release, said that this is a common sense ordinance and conceded that while there were some things included in the legislation that pushed through last night that should have waited until the short legislative session begins in Raleigh on April 25th, that he felt he had to act because this Charlotte ordinance would have gone into effect April 1st. It was interesting, as you mentioned, Frank, the governor did not call this special session. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the election, what kind of cover that gives him. This is a race to the right and also a race to the middle. Let us not forget that this is a purple state, and this is going to be a key state in the presidential race. And Governor McCrory certainly needs conservative votes, but he also needs a lot of independent votes if he's going to beat Roy Cooper.
He has to run statewide.
Second-term governor.
Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff DeBerry, WNC's Capital Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Frank.